I'm Alex from Addict.
Hi, Alex.
Shit. God, I've been getting so nervous about sharing into a microphone, and I don't even have a microphone, and now I'm nervous about having to throw my voice back there. So if you can't hear me, give me a wave or something. It's a real privilege to be... I had someone waving already. It's a real privilege to be asked to do this. It's the first time I've shared in London, and I suppose it's a little mark in my life of how far I've come and how things have changed for me. Really nervous all of a sudden. I've been sat today and thinking about it's almost exactly 4 years ago that I went into a rehab, and it was the start of my journey into recovery. And the last day before I went into that treatment centre, which is a 12-step treatment centre, now, what was I like? You know, I lay on the floor, I got out of bed, I lay on the floor, I scraped out my mum's handbag, I ran off into the streets in the rain in a pair of pyjamas to get my last fix, because I couldn't go on. I just couldn't bear the thought of one more day without that, just that last fix. And I used for the last time in the back of the car, my mum and my sister sat in the front, and they got out of the car in this horrible little post office in Preston, because they were so disgusted with me, they couldn't sit in the car with me. And that was like the beginning of the end. And you know, I just think about how much my life has changed since then. I used to take a meeting into an HMI, into a treatment centre a few years ago, and I ran this meeting for about 6 months. And at the end, I did a chair, and at the end of it, the girls all went, "God, we didn't even think you're an addict all this time. We thought you were just blagging us until we heard you share, just because of the way you look and the way you are, and how much you don't seem like an addict." And hopefully that's the way I come across a little bit today. Hopefully. Becoming a part of NA and working steps and having a sponsor has revolutionised my life, and that's a word I've read in the books, and it my life has changed so much. I was nothing like the person I am today. I was just... my natural state of being is not someone who... I'm really nervous, obviously, sitting in front of you all, but I couldn't have sat in front of a couple of people and talked like this. My natural state of being is to be anxious, nervous, frightened, hate myself. I grew up hating everything about myself. I thought it was the ugliest thing. I thought my sister had everything. I had ginger hair and freckles, so that never was a good start when you're growing up. But I was really, really unhappy, and I didn't really like who I was. It felt like a really big, cruel joke that I was kind of part of this world, that everybody seemed to be getting on with life really easily, and I didn't understand why people were like that and I wasn't. And the thought of being like this for 60, 70, however many years, it was just intolerable. And my mum said to me the other day, she said, I looked at this photograph of you when you were about 9, I took this photograph, and she said, and I said to your dad, if any of my kids are going to end up using drugs, it's going to be her. Ironic, really, because that's what happened. And she's like, "I'm sorry for saying that." I said, "Oh, I'm glad you said that, because it was obviously the map of things for me. And I feel like I was meant to be an addict. I feel like that was always my route. I can remember watching programmes about drugs when I was younger. I remember watching, weirdly enough, Inspector Morse, and then having this rave on it and thinking, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. I wanted that lifestyle. I hated the mundane, normal existence people seem to have. And the first time I bought any drugs, it wasn't like I was swept along with it. I just decided, right, I'm going to do that. And I went off and I bought some pot, and I didn't know how to smoke it because I was too young and stupid. But I was self-willed around that stuff. I wanted to be different. And the first time someone passed me a joint in the street and I smoked it, I thought, this is what I want to be like all the time. This is how I should feel all the time. And I pursued it for a long, long time. And for the first time, I felt like this is what it's meant to feel like. This is how I should feel. I felt like I'd come home almost. And I used drugs for so many years in so many different ways, and I always just thought it was fun. But now I look back, and when I went into treatment, I was told that I had this physical, spiritual, and mental addiction. And I couldn't escape the fact that I was physically addicted. By the time I went into rehab, I was addicted to drugs, and I woke up every day with a craving, and I had to use every day. And that made sense to me. I could understand why I was there, but what I couldn't understand was why, when I put those drugs down, I'd just be thinking about them all the time. I was obsessed about them. I was compulsed to use. I couldn't stop thinking about using. And it didn't matter how long or how far away I was from using or how many drugs I'd, how far away I was from taking drugs, I still thought about it all the time. And that's that mental bit of my allergy to this, to these drugs, is when I take drugs, doesn't matter how bad the consequences are, I still want to pick up again. And any drug I use is like that. I can remember being at taking, sitting and snorting lines of coke, and then, oh, a bit of an interlude there. I can remember being in my flat and like taking coke and ironing at the same time, and thinking my teeth are going to fall out, and I'm scratching and I feel awful. I'm never taking that again. And if someone had offered me some more, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll have some more of that then. Straight away, it's just like, it was like a sort of a part of my normal existence almost. And other than that, apart from the fact that I was using all these party drugs and all this kind of stuff, I was hitting the doctors for sleeping tablets and antidepressants and all kind of stuff, run all the way through it. And at the end of my addiction, it was me sat on the bathroom floor on my own, or hanging out down the back of QuickSaves, waiting for some 18-year-old to come and score for me. And I knew that wasn't the way I was supposed to be. I knew it wasn't. But the only way I could see to get out of this kind of stuff was to find some other kind of tablet or something that would take it away. And the pain I was in, nobody understood, you know what I mean? And this is the great thing about NA, is I thought I was on my own with this. I didn't think anybody else felt like me or anybody else understood this. And I've come to NA and found like hundreds of thousands of people, and it's just the biggest relief. For the last 2-3 years of using, I was trying to stop all the time. Constantly trying to stop. Everything I tried to do, it just didn't work, you know. And I ended up in a 12-step treatment centre, and they started taking me to meetings. And at first I went because there was a guy in there I quite fancied. So I used to go back to this meeting all the time. And the more I went back, I listened a little bit more and a little bit more. And I realised that these people were just like me, and they'd had the same problems as me and gone through the same stuff. And it wasn't about how much stuff I'd lost or how bad my using was or what I'd used. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was just those same feelings that everybody had in there. And I continue to sort of stick around, you know. I found that NA's given me everything I need, you know. It's given me friendship, it's given me support, it's given me a new way to live. I'm not even aware how long I've been sharing, because I'm not checking the time when I started. Perfect. I'm losing myself already. Since I've come into recovery, honestly, I can't explain how much my life's changed. I'm not the most confident person, but I can walk around and interact with people. I can be normal with people. I can get on with my life. I've got, these are all really material outside things, but I've got a job that I get by with. I've got a house I manage to pay the bills on. I've got loads of amazing friends in my life, and I've done some really amazing stuff in my recovery, and I seem to just manage it. My sponsor in NA, she's I didn't know any of this stuff about her until she started sponsoring me, but she's this woman who's got all these amazing business. She's got a couple of kids, she's travelled all around the world, and she manages to juggle it. She manages to juggle all this stuff with complete ease and adeptness. And the reason I chose her as a sponsor is because she was doing a lot of service in NA, and she seemed really happy. And then I found that she could do all this other stuff in life. And the thing that frightened the shit out of me when I came into recovery was that I was going to be this really boring, boring person. And I found someone like her who inspires me. When I was a kid, when I started using, my aspirations were to this guy who was like a 45-year-old speed dealer who used to go, open your mouths and stick a bit of speed in all our mouths and tell all these amazing stories and have these terrible curtains and big teeth. And I used to think, he was a brilliant character from Burnley. I used to think, I want to be like him. I want to spin yarns and tell stories like him. And I totally aspired to this guy. And that's what that was what my life was about. I wanted to be like this. And not who I aspire to today, you know. I have this sponsor who's amazing. And I feel like in my life, I sometimes am a bit shy about sharing a lot of stuff I do in my life, but since I've come into recovery, I've had the most amazing adventures. I moved to London a few months ago, travelled all over the world. I've achieved some really great things. I've done crazy things like go to the North Pole and jump out of planes and stuff like that. Slightly bonkers things that I never dreamed I would do, but I feel like I've got this little bit of inner strength in me now today that anything that I really, really want to do, I can do it. somebody rang me up the other day and said, you know, he's got this friend and my friend's really fucked and he needs to stop using. And he's like, can we just kidnap him and sort, you know, just kidnap him and lock him up for a bit? And I said, it's not going to work. I said, I gave him the phone line, helpline number. I said, you need to ring this, you know, you can get him to ring this person. But for me, it was like, if I'm not ready to stop and if I don't want to do this, it doesn't work. I have to want it inside. And I believe that stuff around step one, when I admit I'm powerless over this addiction, happened for me before I picked up a pen and wrote about step one. And it was when I walked into that rehab and I sat down and said, just do what the fuck you can with me, because I don't know what to do anymore. And it was when I first asked for help. And when I just stopped fighting, that was it. It was something that, it was inside me that I couldn't do this anymore. And when you find that you can't do this anymore on your own and you need someone to help you, and I've got all these people in this room, I don't know a lot of you, but yeah, so like I said, I moved here a couple of months ago. I'm just so grateful. I can't believe how many encouraging smiles I've got off people before I did this show, and how many people who've helped me out through my recovery since I got here. I've been welcomed straight away. It's been amazing. Where I'm from up north, the first meeting I went to when I left treatment, I walked into a room with four people and it was horrendous. I hated it. I was expecting these heroes welcome, like, oh, she's from Lancaster, she's got clean, yay. Wasn't like that, you know. Everyone was a little bit frosty, I was clinging to the seat. And I went out into town on a Saturday night and watched everyone drinking and cried my eyes out. Oh, I can't do this, this is not what I want from recovery. But I discovered that there were other meetings to go to and places that worked for me. But the thing I love about London is when you get to that 10 minutes of newcomers time, it's full, and meetings I go to, it's not like that. You don't see people coming in the door, and it's really inspiring. There's something I talked about with a friend the other day, is because I didn't get that choice of going to loads of meetings every day, like people can go to 2-3 here a day, 2 weeks good from my in Lancaster, there's 2 meetings a week. I had to rely on my programme, I had to work the steps, I had to get a sponsor, I had to speak to people on the phone, I had to do all that stuff to fill up the time, and I had to get in touch with a higher power, I had to become a part of this fellowship. It required a lot of effort, you know, because those 2 meetings a week, something had to go on in between them. I've worked really hard in my recovery, I'm not afraid to say that, I've worked really hard to stay clean, but not only am I clean today, not only am I free from that obsession and thinking of using drugs, not only do I not sit and think I want to kill myself every time a bill comes through the door or I can't cope with something, I'm pretty content, I've got a pretty good life on the go, and I'm excited about things, I've got the faith that things are going to be alright, and if I stick at it, I can stay clean for a really long time. Also try not to be arrogant and think that I've got this in the box forever as well. When are you going to wait 5 minutes of me yet?
I thought you knew.
1 minute. 1 minute for some soundbite of something amazing. I haven't really got anything else amazing to say. I know there's someone in here who's new, and I hope maybe someone else is new in here. It's a bit frightening when you come in these doors, if you're anything like me, it is. And you might think I'm talking complete nonsense. I feel like I am. But if you just stick around, try something new, change your way of life a little bit, and accept that there's more to this disease, and the fact that drugs have got a grip on you, that there's something going on inside you that can be changed, and you can have the most amazing way of life. I've got it. I'm really, really happy in my life today. And I hope other people can get that too. I'm going to leave it there. Thanks.